the Moabites and the Ammonites and, you know, some of their subsidiaries, mercenary type folk. And he prays this prayer, a very, very passionate prayer. And there are three main points, a past, present, and future type deal. And in essence, those three questions that he asks of God are you not, did you not, and will you not? So, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word, we will be reading verses 5 through 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Verse 8, And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what we ought to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And let's pray. Dear God, I pray that this evening, as we go into this time of worship, that the sacred desk is honored, and that you would speak through me, God. Nothing that I say would be of my intellect, of my doing, but that it's all on you, God. God, I offer up this time completely to you. I surrender this all to you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the first question that Jehoshaphat asks, and this is a public prayer. If you go back and look at that, this is kind of a public prayer. He gathers the entire nation together, and this is what he prays. And the very first thing he says is, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? In other words, are you not God? Simply put, are you not God? And the answer to that is, he is the God who is. He is I am. God is sovereign and he is in power, and he is recognizing that. This is a present tense. This is acknowledging God where God is right now. God, I'm putting you first and foremost. You're in charge. This is your show. And for me, this is a very personal thing, because I want this to be God's show. I don't want any part of this as far as, you know, glory and accruing different things. No, I want God to use me in such a way that only God can. And this is what this is talking about. God, are you not the God in heaven? Are you not the one in charge? These rhetorical questions are designed to place God back in the respected and all-powerful place that he should be in the hearts of the king and his people. In those questions, are you not God? Are you not in charge of all? Are you not powerful in so much that there is none that can withstand against, much less compete against you? In other words, he's saying, God, you are great, you are mighty, and there's none other like you. There is no competition for you. And this prayer is something that is very personal to me, because I recognize that, and I want God to continue to speak to me in that, to reassure me that in this process of literally uprooting, you know, I'm a good Oklahoma farm boy. I'm pretty rooted in family and faith and all that good stuff. This is a big deal for me. You know, this is a weird thing. And so, essentially, you can only really start where you're at. And it seems kind of duh, but you really can only start where you're at. And so often we try and start, you know, here or here, when, no, the first step starts where you're at. Jehoshaphat starts his prayer with what he does know and not with what he doesn't. And he reaffirms with God that which he does know and commits the situation to God in that first question. Growing up with my dad, he is a mechanic. That's where I learned my quote-unquote mechanical skills. You know, I'm not anywhere the mechanic that he is. He's a pretty bright guy when it comes to that thing. And usually for me, I was either holding the flashlight and getting cussed at and all that good stuff. So some of you men have been through that. You know how that is. But another thing that I always did was I was always in charge of putting up tools. You get done with the job, hey, I need you to start putting this stuff up so that I can move on to the next thing. Well, you know, when I'm young, you don't exactly know where everything goes, of course. And I would continually go back to my dad, hey, Dad, where does this wrench go? Where does this socket go? And half the time, I'm not even naming the tool what it is. And finally got to a point where he said, look, Malachi, if you don't know, you know where it goes. You make an I don't know pile and you put it there. And that saved him a lot of grief and a lot of trouble. And it made my job a lot easier. You know, as Christians, there are things that we do know, even in the most unsure and uncertain times. And there are other things that we don't, and we do have to trust that completely to God. We have to say, God, here's the I don't know pile. Take and do with it what you will, or tell me what to do with it, and I'll do my best to do that. So are you not God? Always start with what you know. Always start with what you know and where you're at. Always start with what is, not what you want to be or what has been. God is I am, God is sovereign, and he's in control. The second question, in verse 7, the King James has it, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham and thy friend forever? Some other translations have it, and this is where, you know, it kind of makes more sense, you know, rhetorically speaking. This is a past tense question. God, did you not? God, did you not? What does that mean? He is the God. It talks about he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. For us, that's a past tense thing because we weren't there in the beginning. Did you not? The God who was. He's the God who did. So this also is reaffirming that God is a God of action. He's done something. It's different in each of our lives. For me, it's not the same as for some of you elders, because you have a lot more life behind you than I do, and so God's done a lot more in your life, as, you know, should be. Jehoshaphat again asks a rhetorical question here, this time about the past, in order to bring to the forefront of the knowledge, that which should be remembered. In other words, he's asking these questions to say, hey, Judah, is God not the God that took us out of Egypt? Is God not the God that provided for us in the desert? Is God not the God that helped us to defeat and to take this land that is ours right now? This is a question designed to help them remember. God obviously knows what he did, but do we? Do we reflect on what God has done for us? Sometimes we get caught up so much in the moment that we forget, hey, God, you've given me what I needed. You provided for my needs. You've helped me make those payments on this or that. You've helped me in this hard time when I've lost a loved one. God, you've done a lot for me. And this is a question that I am, again, this is very personal for me. God, are you not the God that has brought me through so many difficult times? And I know I'm only 20 years old, but, you know, he did. He brought me through high school. I made it through high school okay. I made it through Votech okay. Modern education is A1, you know. And he did. He brought me through that. And it seems small and simple. And you younger folk that are here, by the way, that really makes me happy that there are young folk here on a Sunday night. I just want to let that be known, because that is your future congregation. So that's a good thing. You guys that are in school and in high school, God's going to bring you through it. You know, you do have to do your part of it, but God will bring you through it. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I reflect on. God, you've brought me through a lot. There are different things in my life, and we'll not go into that, but he has brought me through a lot. When we forget what God has done and what we have been saved from, and we have been provided with, we are doomed to repeat that history, just like Israel. You know, God delivered them out of multiple enemies' hands because of the same stupid thing. They always wanted to worship everything else. You know, you'd think once is dumb, twice is stupid, third time. I mean, how many times did they do this? Too many to count. They always forgot. They did not step back and say, did you not punish us the last time we did this stupid thing? And they did not, and not only that, they didn't step back and say, did you not deliver us last time? So it's important to reflect. It's important to reflect. Remembrance brings about effectiveness as leaders and Christians because we remember what God has done, and so we know that he can deliver and provide. When we take a step back and say, God, did you not, we realize what we have been provided with. We realize that he has brought us through a lot. We realize that he still is in charge. So you can seek God's favor. They seek God's favor in this because they were his people by promise. It talks about how in John, I have other sheep that he's here to save, talking about the Gentile. Are we not part of his people in that regards, thereby in his favor? So take time to reflect on what God's done for you. Take comfort in his promises. And if you don't know anything about what God has promised, you do know that he has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. If at the very least, you do have that. For some of you younger folks, that might be all you have right now just because you're too young to really know. I mean, I am. I know what God has called me to do, and that's all I know. Literally, that's all I know. I know that he's called me to Palau to work under Brother Glenn and the people over there and use my skills that God has blessed me with. But that's about all I know. I don't know the technicalities of it and all that good stuff. But I'm starting where I have, where I'm at, and I'm taking comfort in the promise that he will pull me through. Never forget what he's promised, and never forget the past. Always remember the past in such a way that you are reaffirmed and confident in who holds your future. I keep saying remember. This is not necessarily reminisce. This is not, well, it used to be good back in the old days. And some of y'all might be thinking, where does this young guy get off? I realize I'm young, but in the New Testament, you know, truth is still truth no matter how old you are. So remember, don't necessarily reminisce. It's good to think back on those good times, but don't get caught up in those good times that are not now. Work towards the future. And so this third question that we get at is, God, will you not? He is taking a question that deals with the present. God, are you not? Are you not the God in charge right now in this moment? And he goes to a past tense question, God, did you not deliver us? Did you not provide? To the point where they're at now, and it says, God, our God, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what we are to do, but our eyes are upon thee. In Israel's case in particular, when they say, oh God, will you not? They're talking about deliverance from the Ammonites and the Moabites, okay? That's just context. But what we're going to take from that verse is, for we have no might, but our eyes are upon you. The final question that Jehoshaphat asks is, will you not judge them? Will you not recognize that these people come against you, and will you not take action on our behalf for your glory? And we need to focus on that last part. In particular, is, will you not take action on our behalf for your glory? You know, sometimes, even in good situations, God, will you not take part in this for your glory? When I bought my first truck, I bought a truck. You know, it's kind of crazy that in order to build credit, you have to have credit, but you have to have credit to build credit. And so here I am having to take out a loan so I can have credit. It's a ridiculous process. But even in that, I said, hey, God, However this works, let it be for you, okay? You know, I bought a truck with the intentions that, hey, old lady needs me to come mow for her. I will, you know, load up the mower and go. Or guy needs me to help, you know, move him out of an apartment into a new one. Hey, I've got a bed. Let's do this thing. That was kind of my deal on that. And so will you not take part and express yourself in such a way, God, that there is glory there? Jehoshaphat had a decent and functional army, but he is quick to realize that even in our own strength, we are not strong enough to endure and overcome if God doesn't fight for us. Everyone knows most everyone should know the story of Gideon. Started out with, 30,000? Gets cut down to, 10,000, I think, something like that. But whatever the numbers are, he starts out with 30,000. He ends up with 300. God uses that. Over here, Jehoshaphat does have a competent army, but he realizes that without God in the big picture, it's not going to work out well. Without God there to take control, there will be no control, and it will be chaos. He expressed complete dependence on God for delivery. Complete dependence. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. As Christians in particular, we are persecuted, and very often, more oftentimes than not, we have no might against the world. You think about the different things that are, you know, going on in government, how many of those laws and stuff that they're trying to pass are in Christianity's favor? Not very many of them, if any of them. You have things that are good for the general public that are good for Christians too, but how many of them are actually good for Christianity in particular? Not very many of them. We have to express complete dependence on God. I'm relying completely on God on this because there's no way that I'm be straight up honest with you, there's no way that I'm getting to Palau by myself. There's no way. Maybe if I had a rich uncle that kicked the bucket or something and just left it all to me, maybe. But even then, that's not my doing. Express complete dependence on God for deliverance. Never forget God's ability to completely deliver in spite of yourself, your enemies, and your situation. God always has a way of making a way. We're called to do the best that we can. We're called to be good stewards of what we have. We're called to act in good faith. But there are times that we fail, whether on purpose or not, whether we make an active decision to do our own thing or not. But in spite of that, God can still deliver. Will you not? God is the God that will. He is the fix for our future. It's pretty plain and simple. It's pretty plain and simple. God is the God that will. So who is God? Well, in this essence, and I think throughout Scripture, you know, you have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In this essence, we're relying on God the Father. We're relying on what a good father ought to be. He is our Father in the most basic and general essence, you know. In my personal situation, he's the dad in charge. You know, I'm relying a lot on my earthly dad to get me through a lot of this. Hey, Dad, how does this work? How does that work? What the heck is a passport? I've never even seen a passport in all my farm boy days. So that's not a part of my life. So I'm having to rely a lot on my earthly dad, but I'm having to rely a lot on my heavenly father as well. Which, I mean, you should, but especially in this case, Palau's 8,000 miles away. It's not like I can just pack up and drive over there. If I do, I'll get about 2,000 miles and we'll go swimming. He's the one that brought me where I'm at today and shaped me into what I am. If it wasn't for God's provision in a dad that was competent both spiritually and in the ways of the world and being a good mechanic, being a good steward of money and all that good stuff, I might not have turned out in such a usable way for Brother Glenn. God has brought me this far. And he's the one. We'll just leave it at that. He is the one true Father that will always be there for you, be there for me. He's the one that will provide. He is the Father that is. He is the Father that was. He's the Father that's going to be. I mean, if you've read the scripture at all, I mean, he is the great I am. You can insert pretty much anything you want after that. And he is. He's the provider. He's the protector. Jehovah Jireh. All of that good stuff. He is. And so this prayer of passion that Jehoshaphat prays is something that I feel every believer, it's just really a jewel in the Old Testament that sometimes I think gets skipped over. I feel like the Old Testament in general gets skipped over these days. And I found this, and being a pastor's kid, I took a lot of things for granted. You know, going to church every Sunday, I'm pretty sure I've heard everything there is to know. Right? No, wrong. You got to take it and read it for yourself. And I found this, and this just really spoke to me. This lifted me up in a lot of ways. And so with that being said, we're going to kind of wrap this up and just take your prayers to the next level. Make them passionate. Recognize who God is. Recognize who God was. Recognize what he can be for you. And let him do that. So I will turn this back over to our musicians if they will come forward, and the man in charge of that. And I will turn this section of our service back over to you guys.